This is pretty much the only outtake from The Life and Death of Scott Bromley. When me and Scott were first talking on Facebook, he was wondering like how much stuff he should record, what level of detail he should go into. And I told him just as long as you like, you know, just let your mind wander, because you never know what kind of connections are going to be built and what's going to come up. And I'm glad he did, because the nuts and bolts of the story, I mean, if you wanted to, you could tell this story real quick. I was in the hospital, I almost died, I didn't die. That's where I was surprised some of the people commenting on the show were like, man, what's with all the pauses? Like, oh, geez, you know? I'm pretty sure Bromley didn't just stop talking for 20 seconds. And it's like, motherfucker, like, I'm trying to give it some, like, dramatic pacing, you know? I think when someone says that they're not afraid of death anymore, you can take a moment, you know? Let that sink in. Man. Anyway. No, I'm glad that he just told the story, like, at great length, because I think what really came through, like, what the real story is, isn't just his spleen exploding and going to the hospital. It's the people that were around at the time. It's the relationships he had with the different people in his life. Like, that's really the point of the story. So talking about the two Sams and the people that he worked with, all that stuff, you know, helped paint that picture. But the one section that I did leave out, ultimately, I used almost everything he sent me. I just took out when he was talking about the process of getting hired at Current TV, because I think it's pretty interesting, and that's what this outtake is. But at the time, knowing that the show was going to be so long, and knowing that, you know, a crazy hospital drama was right around the corner, and just like, you know, it's coming, and it seemed like this was almost like a cruel level of detail to put in, you know, of like, you know, when are we going to get to the fucking fireworks factory, you know? But here it is, the little story of Scott getting hired at Current TV. Oh, also, I'm going to run this audio just flat out. Like, I kind of ran some filters through the audio and just some basic noise reduction type stuff. But there's just little pops and, you know, the mic would blow out sometimes on the P's and the B's. So in the final show, I went through and, like, hand-edited and tried to smooth out as many of those as I could. I don't know if anyone even notices that kind of stuff, but, you know, I just felt like this is a big opportunity to do Scott Bromley's story. I wanted it to be as good as possible. But this clip, this is just flat out. This, here it is, so. But if I didn't mention it, you know, maybe you wouldn't even notice. But in case you do notice, I'm mentioning it.
And then I got a job at a then startup television network run by Al Gore called Current TV. And I was brought on board. It was kind of the weirdest interview I had ever had. You know, the initial interview was over the phone, and they gave me an assignment, and they wanted me to, you know, find 20 of the coolest things that no one else knows is cool yet. And, you know, this is back in 07. And I was like, oh, hey, I know this movie, The Room. Everyone's going to love it in a couple of years. It's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I'd been going to the midnight screenings in LA for 2 years at that point. And, you know, sure enough, now it's like the biggest thing ever. But, you know, this is back in 2007. This was 4 years ago. And I'm telling this guy that this is going to be the next big thing. Another thing that I found, coincidentally, it hit that night. I saw it about 30 minutes after it was on. Was Funny or Die launched that the landlord skit. And that was the beginning of that. So that skit took that company to the moon, and like those and a couple other things that I sent them. And they're like, okay, wow, all right, you kind of have your pulse on the public, that you know what's going to be hip. Now come in for another interview. And I met with another man. I guess another guy. He was the director of, I guess, online programming, and his name was Justin Gunn. And I went in and I interviewed with him for 15 minutes, and all we did was talk about Donkey Kong and the King of Kong, because it hadn't come out yet. And I was telling him about, like, I've been following this whole story of these guys, and it's going to be huge, and people are going to know about this. And I was in the documentary because my legs are in the background in one scene. And so we were talking about that the whole time, and then talking about Max Headroom. And 15 minutes later, he left the room and he came back, and he wanted to offer me the job. And I said, oh, okay. And it turns out, like, I found out that he got into a lot of trouble because he was supposed to interview me, and then, like, the CEO was supposed to interview me, and the president of programming was supposed to interview me, and a bunch of other people, and it was supposed to be this whole vetting process, and he was the first one. And since I was going to be directly reporting to him, he was just like, oh, screw it, no, he's fine, hire him. And they're like, well, that's, you went against protocol. And but it turned out, you know, I was the right person. I was the person they wanted. So anyway, we were working on launching, at that time, Current's website was current.tv, and they were changing to this whole I guess it was the beginning of shared news. You know, it was before, you know, Facebook had any sort of real major presence. You know, MySpace was still pretty big at the time.
This is a little clip I took out right at the end, right before I released this episode. Scott was telling the story of going to his friend's wedding, and as I was editing, the first episode of his podcast, The Comedy Button, came out, and he told a story about going to his high school reunion, and somewhere in my brain, I crossed the two things over. I thought it was the same story, so I had the show, the XO episode, fade out, and the clip from The Comedy Button come in, and then go back to the main show. And then I was listening through, and it occurred to me all of a sudden, wait a second. He's talking about a wedding, and then in the other clip, it's high school. This is not the same story, so I cut it out. But in case you want to hear it, here it is.
We're a week away from launching at Current. You know, I'm pulling these all-nighters, making the site go live, while simultaneously getting ready to move into an apartment in San Francisco because this commute is killing me. Around this time, our friend Emily was about to get married. Now, I go to this wedding, and I'm having a really, really fun time. I was feeling like I had a cold. I thought it was because I was just working so much on current.com that I was developing a cold, because everyone else was developing a cold down there, so I just thought I had it too. So I went to the wedding. You know, I was a little bit of a makeout bandit, you know, kind of. You know, shenanigans and goings-ons went on at the wedding.
Here's the thing, Anthony. Your 10-year high school reunion is tonight. Go to it!
If you've got 3 years? Four years.
You've got a while.
I'm going to fuck that up.
You're a baby.
Mine was awesome. It was so...
What did you do?
What did you do?
I'm not going to talk about it.
You're not going to talk about it?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Wow, something you won't talk about?
I could say it. I'm blushing. Yeah. Are you blushing?
Yeah, you are.
What
did he do? Obviously, he doesn't want to talk about it, which means he banged someone that he wanted to bang for a long time.
Yes. There.
I'm going to go ahead and say prom queen in her mom's pool shed.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott.
Gone back to work that week. I run into Sam. Oh, girl. You know, telling her, you know, about all the stuff that I did, about what happened at the wedding. Kind of bragging, kind of being like, yeah, see, you missed out. I did all this stuff.
This is an alternate version of Scott first going to the hospital. And the song I used just didn't work out. It's this really great Canadian band called Mother Mother, and this is a song called Oh My Heart. And I really like this song, and like, it's, you know, it's got this sort of vibe that it's not too intense, but it's definitely like, I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess you'll hear it, right? Just for whatever reason, I just really felt like the vibe of this song almost fit, so close. But ultimately, it's just a complicated song to re-edit, you know, to try to extend. Like, a lot of times I'll take an instrumental part of a song or something and just like loop it so that it fits with how I want it to fit. And this song ended too quickly. I needed it to keep going, and there was no easy way to loop this song without it sounding really obvious that that's what I'd done. And it's just, it's always harder to use a song with vocals in it rather than an instrumental. And then something about the tone of it, ultimately, like, as a segment, I was like, yeah, this is cool, but then listening to the whole show top to bottom, it just wasn't quite right, and I could just feel it nagging me in the back of my mind, so instead of fighting with it, I just replaced it. Instead, I used an instrumental of One Arm Scissor, which was, you know, a lot easier. Almost feel like it's a cop-out when I use instrumental tracks, because it's so much easier to insert them into a show. But it worked out fine, and I was like, fuck it, I'll just put it as an outtake, and then here it is.
And in Sonoma, the Sonoma Valley Hospital is one of the worst hospitals in the Bay Area. It is a terrible, terrible hospital. All of their equipment is from the 60s. It's really, really outdated. And my mom, if that was the case where I had to go to the hospital, she'd want to take me to Marin General, which is the best hospital in the North Bay. Oh, my heart, it's a fish out of water. He looked and he said, "You don't have time. You have zero time. You have to go to the hospital." And the hospital was across the street from the doctor's office. So we went across the street to the doctor's office in the emergency room. I was in a lot of pain at that point, and they admit me to the emergency room. And I'm in there, and I have to drink some sort of a gallon of chalk. Is what it was. And they just put like a drop of raspberry flavoring in it to make it taste less like chalk, which made it taste more like chalk. So I'm drinking this liquid, and then one of the ER doctors comes in. It's just this real, he looked like an owl. He looked like an owl with like mutton chops. He was a real asshole. It was like he'd been up for 36 hours and he just didn't want to see it. And he looked at me and he's like, "What's the problem?" And I said, "My stomach just really, really hurts. I don't know what it is." And he's like, "How much do you drink?" I said, I don't know, like a couple drinks a week, maybe. "How much do you drink?" "Just a couple drinks a week, I guess." "What have you been doing? Has there been a night where you've been drinking a lot?" I said, "Last weekend I went to a wedding. I probably had, you know, 6 martinis and a couple glasses of champagne." "You're an alcoholic." And he pushes down on my stomach. "You're an alcoholic." He pushes down on my stomach. And I scream, it hurts so bad. Oh, my heart, it's a fish out of water. Oh, my heart, it's a rock in the gutter. Oh, my heart, it's a black in a rainbow. Oh, 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 my heart, it's so damn cold, so damn cold. And I throw my heart. Now, what I assume happened, and what it's the only way it could have happened, is the second he pushed down on my stomach, he ruptured my spleen. This last outtake is my little outro recording. I just walked around my neighborhood one night, late at night, and recorded the intro and the outro. And I was a little nervous about it, just because I knew this episode was going to get so much more traffic and have so much more visibility than your average episode. And no, you know, most people don't know who I am. I don't want to come off like a jerk off. Like, who the fuck is this guy? And I feel like this original outro was that way. It was just whatever I was rambling about off the top of my head. But again, it seemed okay by itself. But then you put it in the context of the whole show. We've just listened to this amazing fucking story of Scott Bromley's.
now why am I there? You know, why am I talking? Who the fuck am I? It doesn't matter who I am. So instead, I chopped it down to just the URLs and the goodbye instead of my ramblings about Gilmore Girls. But if you're curious, here it is. That's the last outtake. Thank you very much. XO28, The Life and Death of Scott Bromley. You can find his new show, The Comedy Button, at thecomedybutton.com. That's the one everyone pitched into the Kickstarter for. And it was worth every goddamn cent. You can find more episodes of XO at keithcourage.com, like the old TurboGrafx game. Thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks to Scott for recording that. That was really... That's fucking crazy, man. That was a hell of a story, dude. I'm glad I got to help bring it to life in this little audio drama. And thanks a lot for the Gilmore Girls thing. Jesus Christ, man. I downloaded one episode just to put that little clip in the show. Now I'm working my way through the whole goddamn series, so... Cheers to the Gilmore Girls. To Scott Bromley, thecomedybutton.com. Thanks. Goodbye.
Sean writes in.
What's up, Sean?
Couldn't help but notice you trashing my home state. I will agree that most of Michigan does indeed suck total mutant turtle dick. but there are some redeeming qualities as well. For example, we have lakes. We don't have to import water from other states like California does. Suck it. We don't have to import water.
We're fucking. We're in San Francisco. We're fucking surrounded by water.
No,
but we need a fucking lake.
No. That's salt water. Yeah, fresh water we import from like up in Oregon.
Clearly not you.
What the fuck's it going to do with the lake?
And we don't export it to anyone either, so it will last us throughout the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, you guys are so fucking bad.
Also, while some parts of Michigan are poor, most of Michigan is...
First of all, we've got water.
Can I read?
Trees.
Can I read? Shut the fuck up.
Air.
Most of Michigan is middle class, and some parts, such as my town of St. Clair, or other towns like Bloomfield Hills or Franklin... The people are loaded, and I'm sure they have all that shit to spend their money on. Here in St. Clair, they're all grouped together on Snob Hill or in the Highlands so that people can drive around and gawk
Snob
at them.
Hill in Michigan. Have you ever been there in the summer? It's wonderful.
Looking down on the black people.
They fall down.
I just know if you walk 10 feet in every direction, you'll fall in a lake.
You know what's difficult to have in your car in Michigan? Electronic equipment that shows you where to go. We use maps. Because if you spill lake water on a GPS system, it'll break. You could spill all the water you want on a map. Nothing will happen. Also, it's convenient that all the maps in Michigan are blue. Like water. Lake water.
My car is full of things that float upon Lake Michigan.
If you're tired of
a basketball.
I have a dwarf. A dwarf goes fishing floating keychain.
An inflatable dolphin.
If you're tired of hearing this bullshit as much as Ryan and I am, you can send in your letters to podcast@gamespy.com.
And stop writing to us about gamer girls.
And stop writing us. A question was asked at some point when I was in Germany. So who's like the... You're like, oh, I'd do anything for this particular woman.
Shigeru Miyamoto. Oh, what?
For this woman. Particular woman on Earth. Like if someone says, like, you have to murder your best friend, you're like, my best friend's getting murdered.
Amanda Bynes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so Amanda Bynes. You can have sex with Amanda Bynes.
And Miggles gets to die, sure.
For the rest of your life.
No, fuck.
Hold on.
Wait, for the rest of your life?
For the rest of your life, she will never age. She will always look the same as she does now.
But.
Hold on. Shut up. I'm continuing this. But, and she'll never get pregnant.
Will she get annoying?
And she won't ask you to marry. You can have sex with other women. She is literally just a concubine that will never age and look hot. But every time when you orgasm, you see Brian's face.
Oh, no. No way.
Wow.
Okay. What's the point?
What if you close your eyes?
No, you always see it.
What's the
always?
Point?
What's
always.
The point
no,
of
that's,
that?
That's miserable. What's the point of that?
How did this question come up?
You know what?
It's just that last moment that you see Brian's face.
Second. It's like 1 second, and Brian's dead. All right? So it's like... This is the only time.
Oh, am I coming back to haunt him?
This is the only time you get to see your best friend.
Wow.
Is when you.
This
blow
same
a
question was posed to another IGN editor.
Are you kind of honoring him at that point?
Yes.
Every
time you have sex with Amanda Bynes, Brian smiles as you pop off.
See,
that's awful.
Remember me,
see this question.
Me.
This question.
That's like when you're watching like a porno and like they cut right to the guy and he's like, oh, and you're like, no.
Yes.
What if he was delivering a very important message from beyond the grave, and you had to write it down every single time you finished with the man to buy? Oh,
what important messages he's going to
deliver? He's a ghost.
Oh, Call of Duty Black Ops
has him still.
So this came up, you know, whether it would be okay to see this, and then other people started interjecting with their own.
Did anyone say yes?
Like what? Okay, so what if the option was instead? This was one put out by Mr. Scarpino.
Okay.
That same scenario, except Nick has to be in the room masturbating every time. Every time.
Nice. Done. Wow. I'll do it.
You don't have to see him. He can be behind something, a two-way mirror,
I'll have
something
Nick
like that,
Scarpino but masturbating in the corner of my room right now when I'm having sex with my girlfriend. I love that guy.
No, so it's Amanda Bynes.
Well, are you having sex with Amanda Bynes?
It's whoever
no,
you want.
No, I am. None of you guys are having sex with Amanda Bynes, but me.
Here's,
you're all dead.
How did this come up?
Is Nick Scarpino... Here's the question.
How did you arrive at this?
On his phone the whole time.
Is Nick jerking off to in the corner? Is he concentrating on the girl or Brian? Like, which one is he finishing?
He'll never know.
It's me.
He's wearing sunglasses, so you can't see where his eyes are looking.
So anyways, yeah, this just came up because we were really bored in Germany.
Talking
about really weird situations.
What other situations?
Oh, that was mostly it always came down to if you could have sex with this person, then it would be awesome, except there was this horrible consequence. There was always a price to be paid. You never just got it for free. So
just like every time you came, the Kool-Aid man burst through the wall.
Oh, that'd be awesome?
No. No, the awful part is you have to rebuild the wall.
Just bang in other people's houses.
What about this? What about if the same situation, Amanda Bynes, everything we'd said before, except every time you banged her, someone died? You never knew this person.
Oh, I don't care. Someone would die every time I banged her anyway. Yeah. People die like every second. I don't care.
All right, just making sure.
Look,
what is this, like the Michael Paul? Did people die every time you fuck?
Every time you have sex, someone's dying.
Yeah, every time you do anything, someone dies.
Yeah, I could clap and three people die.
Everyone, you know how many people have died during the making of this podcast? Thousands.
That's fine. How
thousands of
born?
Children. There's like a Chilean coal mine just caved in, and then 40 people just died in the middle of the sentence.
Yeah.
Just now. Fucking Google it.
There was actually a collapse in a mine.
I kid
recently.
Chilean coal mine workers.
And they just found those fools alive in a mine after 17 days. What do you think those guys did for 17 days?
Jerked off in the corner. They probably talked about fucking Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, probably. They're like, I wouldn't look at that guy's face every time I came.
They say that. Okay. I have the next question. If you could have sex with anyone you want,
the ghost of a Chilean coal miner?
This is Antonio Gallegos.
Sí, this is Antonio Gallegos in La Mine. What am I making fun of people with Spanish accents? That's going to be. Fuck you, man. That's like my grandma. My grandma used to sit there and talk to her parrot watching La Lucha Libre. She was an insane little Mexican woman.
Was she hot and on a TV show with a puppet and a guy with a fake mustache?
What are you talking
and
about?
A lot of every bells. Mexican TV
did
show?
Did you ever masturbate to Mexican TV shows at your grandma's house?
Not at my grandma's house.
Ay, ay, ay. Not at your grandma's house?
Sorry. Sorry, abuelita. Sábado Gigante is on.
I'm pretty sure my grandfather has masturbated to Wheel of Fortune before. He's been watching that show for 70 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, to Pat Sajak, not to Vanna White.
Oh.
Ryan just got the most distressed look on his face. What is it, Ryan? Are you having a horrible memory by Vanna White?
No, we're just podcasting, you know.
You're thinking about all those horrible moments you jerked off through the scrambled porn?
Yeah.
No.
You never did that?
No, that wasn't what I was thinking about.
So when are we going on the quadruple date to Sizzler?
Quintuple.
Yeah, where would we go on our date?
We would go,
Ryan, I want you to pick up the
restaurant. We would have to go to Sizzler.
Yeah,
we would have to go to
Actually, that's a good question. Where do you...